He has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. Well, would you take up your Bibles with me and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in the 5th chapter, and we will begin in verse 17. It is just by God's providence that we are in this passage today. I began thinking ahead of time, where are we going to be on Resurrection morning? And we preach consecutive exposition, which is through books of the Bible, verse by verse. We have gone and done other things when it's been appropriate. For a few weeks ago, we did Psalm 42, just to encourage our hearts during an absence of worship together. However, by God's providence, we're in this passage, which is so pertinent to the resurrection itself. And so I'm so grateful to preach this today. And my prayer, again, is if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know why the resurrection matters, I encourage you to, at this time, search the scriptures with me, see who Jesus is, and pray that you will come to the conclusion that God has commanded you to come to. And that is that Jesus Christ is God, that he has been crucified, buried, and risen again from the dead, and those who believe in his name will be saved. I pray that that will be your testimony today, because the resurrection does matter. My good friend Shane Swayze wrote an excellent article on why the resurrection matters, and you can actually find that tomorrow on Monday morning posted on a website that I cooperate with, thegospelforum.com, and I encourage you to read that article by my friend Shane. But for now, let's go to the Word of God as we look deeper into the Scriptures. Last week, we saw Jesus heal a man by the pool of Bethesda. This man had been paralyzed for 38 years, and he was laying by the pool and waiting for a miracle to happen. They believed in some superstitious myth that once this pool was stirred by an angel, that whoever was the first one in would be healed. Well, Jesus comes and meets this man and just speaks authority by his authoritative word into this man and to his condition and says, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man did. He took up his bed and walked. The Jewish leaders heard what happened and saw this man taking up his bed and walking on the Sabbath, and they got very upset. So they went and asked him, "Who made you well?" The guy said, "I don't blame me for breaking the Sabbath. This guy healed me. It's not my fault." So they go and find Jesus, and they have a conversation with him and are very angry with him about why he healed somebody on the Sabbath. And Jesus' testimony or explanation to them is so profound and so to the point. This is what Jesus says in verse 17. "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This is fascinating, because at the word of Jesus, this man was healed, and Jesus told these religious leaders, "As my Father has been working until now, so I am working." He made that statement and made himself equal with God. This is what this passage that we're about to look at goes into in greater detail, and Jesus makes more profound statements about his identity, about his authority. And so this is really fascinating as we look at this. And so Jesus continues in verse 19 by saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." This is another way to explain the phrase that Jesus said last week. As the Father has been working, so am I working now. What Jesus is saying by this statement is that he is completely and perfectly unified with God the Father. For whatever the Father does, the Son does. And he only does what the Father, what he sees the Father doing. So Jesus makes himself equal with God, completely unified with God, saying basically that everything that he does on earth is what the Father does as well, and it's perfectly in line with his nature and character and will. This, of course, would be blasphemous to a religious leader hearing this, and of course they wanted to kill Jesus. This is why they crucified him, because he made such statements like this to prove and show to everybody his true and real identity. This is Jesus' way of saying that he and this Father are one. It's impossible to not do what the Father wants. Why? Because God is a Trinity. God is one in essence, but revealed in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Within the Trinity, there is no divisions. There is not God the Father's plan and then Jesus' plan. And then they have to come to some agreement about whose plan wins in the end. No. They are completely unified, completely together, and whatever Jesus does is what the Father does, and whatever the Father does is what Jesus does. There is no separation in their relationship and their character and how they do things. And he says in verse 20, this is all because the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. At no one time does Jesus ever say, oh man, all right, I guess we have to do it that way. Not at all. His desire, his passion is for the Father's will. And we see this even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he pleads and prays for his Father and says, not my will be done, but your will. Because those two wills are one and the same. And this is what Jesus knows. And of course, there's more theological depthness that we can get into there, but we won't do that right now. This is a statement of showing the divine nature in unity with the Father. This is the mystery of the Trinity. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, if you have a problem with me, you have a problem with him. Because I don't do anything or apart from him. And I only do what I see him doing. So our wills are aligned. And then he says this, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Now, what is Jesus referring to there? He is referring to the healing of the man at Bethesda. The man at Bethesda was a miracle. Jesus spoke, get up and take up your bed and walk. And after 38 years, the man walks. Jesus says, and if you think that's something, you haven't seen anything yet. Verse 21, and he gives you the reason for that. What is this greater thing to come that's going to make them all marvel? In verse 21, he says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Again, another instance of Jesus showing his unity and deity and alignment with God the Father. You know, those stories in the Old Testament where Elijah raised the dead, that was God who did it. But now, proof of deity and proof of authority, even over death, is that someone can speak to death and death departs. Speaks to the person and they could be healed from their infirmities and live. And so what he is saying here is, just as God the Father does that, so will I, and you will see it and you will be amazed. And what Jesus is saying by saying that is, you will know that I am indeed God. Why? Because I do what the Father does. And I only do what I do what the Father does. And I want what the Father wants. And we have the same authority and power in that way. Jesus is co-equal with God the Father. How could somebody raise the dead? Only God can do that. And this happens because God the Father knows me, He loves me, and He approves of me. This is what He tells them. This is why they got so angry at Him. Because no person talks like this unless you are really God. And Jesus does this. He does raise the dead. We know of at least three examples recorded in the Gospels that He did raise people from the dead. The widow's son in Luke chapter 7, Jairus' daughter recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Lazarus, of course, most famously in John chapter 11, where Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, His friend, and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, in that instant, comes forth after being dead for 4 days. He walks out of that grave just as alive as he ever has been. Jesus has authority to give life even to those who have died. Well, then we go to verse 22, and Jesus continues. Not only can he raise the dead because he sees what his Father is doing. Look at verse 22. "For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Now he gets even deeper into this. He says, not only does the Father love me and approve of me, and I have a perfect relationship with him and equal with him, he says that the Father has given Jesus the authority to be the judge of all the world. Why? Look at verse 23. Here's the reason. "So that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father." Basically, what Jesus is telling them is, if you don't honor me, if you don't worship me, if you don't respect me, you don't honor my Father, who is God. I am God. I am God the Son. And to honor me is to honor him. And if you want to honor him, you honor me. And so he has given me this privilege, this right, this authority. He has granted this to me. All judgment to me. I am judge. I am giver of life. And I am to be worshipped and honored and revered as you do God the Father. And you're accusing me of blasphemy, but if you don't do this to me, you're the blasphemer. Essentially, this is what Jesus is explaining to these religious leaders. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Since I am God, and I do everything God my Father does, and he has given me to be judge, and I'm also the one who could resurrect the dead, you must know this, O religious leader. Here's what you must know. If you want the mercy of the judge, which is me, if you want the approval of my Father, you respect me as judge, you respect me as giver of life, and if you want to escape that judgment that you are earning and heaping upon yourself, then you must come to grips with who I am. This is what Jesus is saying to these people. And then he says in verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Fascinating. And like I said, what a great passage to preach on Easter Sunday. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through him, now says to these religious leaders, in a very John 14, 6 way, he says this, "If you hear me," and hear me what? My word. Again, John brings the attention to the authoritative word of Christ. Just like Paul does, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. You want to escape eternal death? You want to escape being 6 foot under for the rest of eternity? You want to escape the judgment of God? You want to have mercy by the judge? Then you have to believe in me. If you don't believe in me, then you will reap this judgment upon yourself. You will remain in eternal death, which is to be cast alive into hell and to face the wrath and judgment of God for your sins forever. But if you hear me and believe me and believe him who sent me, you will have eternal life. Now, how can Jesus say this? Well, go back to what he's already said. He's one with the Father. He has all authority. He is the judge, and he's the giver of life. And why can he say these things? Because as the Father is working, so now I am working. He is one in the same with his Father. And so this is what's happening. In verse 25, Jesus continues, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Here Jesus takes it to an important reality. Of course, we all know about physical death. We will all physically die one day. But here Jesus is speaking about another kind of death. It's a death that we have all experienced, even those who are alive still. And it is spiritual death. The Bible says that we are born spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life in us. We are born hating God and rebelling against God's law, loving ourselves, and rejecting Jesus Christ. There is no desire for God in our hearts from birth. There is none. And this is the result of the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that when they died in their relationship with God, when they sinned, death passed upon all men because all have sinned. We are born in the spiritual condition of death. We are spiritually dead. No life in us, no heavenly life in us, no spiritual life in us whatsoever. And if you remain spiritually dead now, you will be spiritually dead forever. But here's what Jesus is saying. Because he possesses all authority and judge and giver of life, this is what he says. He gives the gospel that if you believe in me, you will have eternal life and not die forever. He says this. He says, an hour is coming. And then he says, and is here now. This wasn't just a future reality, but in this moment, when Jesus was alive and walking the earth, this was true then as it's true now. The dead will hear the voice of God, the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What is this referring to? It is referring to our spiritual condition before God. That story needs to be our story as well. Jesus laid dead in a tomb for 3 days, and he needed to live again, and he did because he's God. But that is also true of us. We who were born spiritually dead and apart from God need a resurrection. That's what you need today, listener. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are not a Christian, the greatest thing that you could have today is a resurrection. And Jesus here said that he alone has the authority to do such. As Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth," By that same authority, Jesus has every right to speak into your heart and command you who are dead in your sins to now live through his powerful Holy Spirit, which makes us and causes us to be born again, so that we hear his word and see the beautiful truth of the gospel and then believe in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Jesus has the authority, who is the judge, to give to those who believe so that they will not come into judgment, verse 24, but they will pass from death to life. And Jesus is speaking right now to those who are listening to him in that day. The time is now not just coming where I will tell people to believe and they will believe. It is happening now. Matter of fact, we saw that in the last chapter, did we not? Jesus and the Samaritan woman. He told her, "I am the living water." She goes to her town. The whole town comes back to see him. And Jesus spends some time with them explaining the gospel and who he is. And the whole town believes in him. They believe in him because they have come to understand that he is the Messiah, that he is God. And when you believe in Jesus, who is God, who is the authoritative judge and giver of life, you, my friend, can pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. That is what's called in the Bible becoming born again. Everyone who is born again experiences a resurrection. That's what becoming born again is. It is the gospel bearing fruit in our heart. That we who are dead hear the truth of the gospel. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he is God, and that he raised again from the dead 3 days later. When we believe that message, something happens inside of us. The Holy Spirit imparts to us life and power. Do you understand why Easter Sunday is so important? Without it, we would be lost. We would be hopeless. We would have no spiritual life within us right now. None. If Jesus were still dead in that tomb, we would all be even more miserable than you think you are. We would have no reason to even gather again. Let's just stay home for the rest of our lives. Let's never go back to church again. Why? Because if Jesus is dead, what's the point of being here? What's the point of even reading our Bibles? But Jesus has secured the victory. He has secured all the promises of God in him. And he is the giver of life and the judge. And he tells you right now that if you believe in him, you could pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. You could have your sins forgiven. You could have a new life. You could be made new. You can be given a fresh start right now by believing in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And who else but God has such authority? And Jesus says, when the dead will hear the voice of God, those who hear will live. And of course, that is speaking, I believe, symbolically of those he will physically resurrect from the grave. And those who hear his voice and believe, they pass from death to life, and they escape the judgment. Here's the reality. One day, there is a judgment day. There is a God we will have to stand before. And this God is Jesus Christ. He is the judge. And all those who believe in him, their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And the judgment that will come down upon those at the great white throne judgment is whether you have believed or not, whether you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb or not, whether you remained spiritually dead at the time of your last breath on earth or not. This is the hope of Easter, that we who believe in Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection of Jesus, can know that although we were born spiritually dead, by the authority of his word and because of his identity and union with God the Father, we can be alive and resurrected from the dead. This is what Jesus says. And he continues in verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus has the authority to give life, not because it's something extra that he has. It's who he is. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The source of all light and life is found in Christ. Only God can make a person physically alive, and only God can make a person spiritually alive. You cannot make yourself live. You had no control over your birthday. You have no control over your spiritual birthday either. It is only the power of God who stands at the tomb of your heart and says, Dan, come forth. And the chains fall off. My blinders fall off. And I walk out of that tomb and realize he is God. I was dead, but now I live. I was blind, but now I see. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, verse 27, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, Jesus tells them in verse 28. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is what Jesus says. Not only is there a spiritual resurrection happening now across the entire world as the gospel is being proclaimed and preached to every man, woman, and child on the face of planet Earth, there's also coming a day where there is a future resurrection. You see, as a pastor, I do a lot of funerals, unfortunately, and I have to stand at the graveside of many people who have passed. But the one thing that encourages my heart when I do a funeral for a believer is knowing this, that this is not the last day. This is not the last time we will see this person. Because at the end of time, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus will come in all his glory and execute final judgment upon all of his enemies. And those who are dead in Christ will rise first and meet the Lord in the air. And those who come, and there are not only people who are physically still alive at that moment, but there will be people who hear his voice at that hour who were dead in their tombs, dead in their graves. And at that moment, at the sound and at the command of his authoritative voice and word, they come out of their tombs. They have a resurrection. There is a future resurrection where the dead will live again. This is hope for the Christian life. And at that moment, Jesus makes all things new. He makes a new heaven and a new earth. And we will be given our glorified bodies and rule and reign with him. You see, all of that doesn't happen unless on the third day, Jesus rises from the dead. Do you understand why Easter matters? Without the resurrection that morning, what's the point? We have no point now to know that we could have a relationship with God if Jesus is still dead. And we have no hope for the future, that knowing that death is not the end for the Christian, it's just the beginning. And that one day we will be reunited with our loved ones, with the Lord Jesus, and all those who are in Christ, all those who have passed from judgment and passed from death to life, because the resurrection matters. Because the resurrection is true. And so I just want to encourage your heart today. Jesus Christ is God. He is judge. He's the giver of life. He's in perfect relationship with God the Father and God the Spirit. He's been given all judgment over to himself. He's been given all life to himself. He has been given all authority. And there is nothing that will stop this from being true. The coronavirus does not change the resurrection. The coronavirus is just a blip on the radar of God's plan for the world. We will overcome because we know that Jesus Christ has overcome. And there's nothing that can behold us today that can throw that off from happening. So be encouraged, Christian. Be encouraged to know that your Savior lives. Be encouraged, Christian, to know that this is the foundation and bedrock of our hope. And those of you who are listening who are not Christians, who don't know Jesus Christ, who have not passed from death to life, who will not escape the judgment, who will have to stand before the judge and give an account of why they did not believe. If you are listening to my voice, if you are hearing me today, let me tell you that it is still not too late. As long as your heart is beating and you have physical life in your body, I pray that you will submit to the scriptures of who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ has done, that he has died for your sins, that he was buried on the buried, and on the third day he rose again for the dead. May you know this today, and I plead with you to trust in Jesus today. Please don't shut off this video. Please don't shut off this video without considering it or talking to somebody in your family or calling someone or a friend or texting somebody. Just said, hey, I just listened to this sermon from this bald guy in Florida and I want to know more about this Jesus. I want to have a resurrection now in my heart and also when I'm when I'm dead, when Jesus comes back. We want to know this, and I plead with you to do it. You're free to welcome to talk to me and ask me questions, and I want to hear from you. I want to engage with you. But more important than that, I want you to talk to somebody else who knows Christ, and help and have them help you know what to do. Nothing would thrill my heart more than to know that there are people listening to my voice right now who are heeding the voice of Jesus, and who were spiritually dead when this video began. And now at the end, they're coming to an understanding and belief in their heart of who Jesus is, of what the gospel is, and what they must do right now. And I pray that before this video ends, that there is a resurrection in those hearts. This is what Easter is all about. Well, I love you. And I pray that you have a good day with your family. But before you do so, heed the words of Christ. Believe on him whom the Father has sent and has given all authority to judge and to give life. And he has proved this over and over by his resurrection. My information's on the bottom of the screen. If I could help you or be a blessing to you, and answer any further questions about who Jesus is or how to know him. If you need encouragement, Christian, make sure you visit our website and drop in your prayer request, and we'll be glad to pray for you this coming throughout the week, and especially this coming Wednesday during our Facebook Live prayer meeting. God bless you. We love you. And one more time, he is risen. He is risen indeed. God bless you.